Warning, we are on location.
This podcast contains strong language and immature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Wow, what a swell place to work.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I got the keys, so I just come in, you know, read comics, play music.
You worked here a long time?
Almost 4 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I know, but it's not so bad. I mean, I'm pretty friendly with most of the customers, so I just hang out, you know, bullshit, read comic books.
You get paid a lot?
No, that's where the trouble comes in, apparently. But the boss, he's a pretty nice guy. He lets you borrow money from time to time if you need it. You want to see what Spider-Man number one looks like?
You bet.
This is the Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast. We're on a special mission. This is me, Siskoid.
And me, Fern.
So Siskoid and Fern are left the other guys at home.
Yep.
We're going to go inside a comic book shop.
Yep.
The Comic Hunter here in Moncton, New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. It's our preferred comic book shop.
Yeah. Do we have any others, honestly?
There are others.
But we don't talk about them?
This is our preferred one, right?
Okay. Not since the accident.
All right. These are all jokes?
Yes, we're not, these are all jokes.
We are not expecting a lawsuit?
No.
Thank you for meeting our expectations.
Yes. We're not expecting a lawsuit. We're prepared for one, but, you know, we like to party.
So our question is today, how easy is it to find romance, old romance comics in comic book shops these days? Is there a demand for it?
Are they crazy expensive?
Are they crazy cheap? Are they not in the boxes, not in bags, because there's no demand for them?
They're just emulsified. They go, here's like 5 ounces of romance comics, and it's just shredded paper.
Shredded paper. And we're, I guess our holy grail is to find some Patsy Walker comics from the 50s, 60s, where it was a romance, a soap opera comic.
Okay.
Because earlier it had been really more of a...
I was going to go for Lois Lane Adventures, but, you know.
Yeah, it was more like a teen humor comic before. So we're looking for Silver Age Patsy comics, Patsy Walker comics, or if not, maybe some... old Millie the Model.
Millie the Model?
That would be the other one.
Okay.
That Marvel came out with. So that's what we're really looking for, because it's really hard to find scans to do research for them. So we need the actual issues.
Yeah.
So we're going to try. We might even talk to Clerk.
Clerk Kent.
So we'll see you inside.
Pray for us.
I have some romance comics theater while you wait.
My sister Adele was 30 years old and unmarried. In my eyes, she was an old maid and her life was finished. I was so terrified of being like her that I was ready to say yes gratefully to the first man who asked me to marry him. And when I did, I almost broke my impatient heart. Oh, yes, darling, of course I'll marry you.
You're making a terrible mistake, Irene. Marrying him because you're afraid of becoming an old maid like me?
Dennis and I had met at a party while Adele was away on vacation. We'd seen each other a few times after that. And then, the very evening Adele returned, he'd propose. And I've said yes!
Well, that's wonderful! Congratulations, Dennis.
Thanks, Adele. I don't blame you for being a little dazed. After all, you don't even know me. And I'm going to marry your sister. And I'll do my best to make her happy.
Later that evening, Adele made me hot chocolate and brought it up to her room so we could talk.
Now I want to hear all the details. Only first, I have a question. It'll be the only one I'll ask.
What is it?
Are you sure you're in love, Irene? Really and truly sure? A few weeks is such a short time to know a man.
I think I'm sure, but even if I weren't, I'd still have accepted Dennis's proposal. I could read the shock in her eyes, and I tried to explain. You know I was never very popular with boys, Adele. Dennis is the first boy who ever told me he loved me, and the only one who ever proposed. I'm scared to turn him down. I don't want to wind up an old maid. Oh, Adele, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean you were...
That's all right, Irene. I'm 30 and unmarried, so I guess it won't be long before I will be considered an old maid.
Anyway, please don't worry about me. We're going to have a happy marriage, you'll see.
If my hopes and prayers mean anything, you will.
During the following weeks, Dennis was at the house often, and once...
Let's go for a drive now, Irene. There's a very special waterfall I want to show you that's beautiful in the moonlight.
First I have to help Adele with the dishes, and then she can come with us.
I'll do no such thing. Hasn't it occurred to you that Dennis might want to be alone with you?
The sight Dennis wanted to show me was truly beautiful.
Happy?
Darling, of course I am. We're going to be married. And that makes me very happy and relieved.
Relieved? That's an odd word to use.
But Dennis, it's only natural for a girl to be relieved when she knows she's going to be married. He looked at me strangely for a moment. Then, suddenly, he drew me towards him and kissed me with more tenderness than ever.
For me, that kiss was exciting and thrilling. Everything a kiss with a person you love should be. Is it that way for you too, Irene?
Oh, darling, of course it was. Was there a tiny, barely audible voice in my heart that said that I was lying? If there was, I ignored it. But just before I fell asleep that night...
Irene, do you think if you were really in love with Dennis, you would have reacted that way when he asked you to go for a drive? So uninterested?
I just didn't want to leave you alone, silly. It wouldn't be fair. The next day, the three of us went on a picnic.
Why don't you come along and help me catch some trout for lunch, Irene?
Oh, I can't. I've got to set up everything. When Dennis was out of sight...
Irene, you must listen to me. You don't love Dennis. You act so cold towards him. You'll be making a terrible mistake if you marry him, ruining both your lives. What's your rush? Why don't you give yourself a chance to meet the right man? Waiting isn't so terrible. I don't know.
Look, I'm getting a little tired of this. Why don't you admit the real reason you don't want me to marry Dennis? You're jealous. Jealous because I found a man who wants to marry me, and you're still an old maid. If I had slapped her, I couldn't have hurt her more. Without a word, she fled. I never should have said that. I don't know what came over me. When Dennis returned, I told him Adele had developed a sudden headache and gone home. But when I got back myself that evening, she wasn't there. Where can she be? What could have happened? Hours later, I heard footsteps on the porch. Thank goodness you're home, Adele! You look so strange!
Do I? I don't feel strange. I feel wonderful. Isn't it a beautiful night?
I could only stare at her, puzzled. It wasn't until the next morning that I got my first hint of what happened.
I'd love to have dinner with you tonight, Howard.
She looked like a little girl with a big, happy secret. Who is Howard?
I met him yesterday, on my way home. The traffic light changed while I was crossing the street, and I got stuck in the middle. Suddenly, there he was, helping me across. We got to talking, and before I knew it, we were having dinner and still talking. Then he took me home. He's wonderful.
As the weeks passed, I watched Adele blossom into the warmth of her new love.
They're certainly in love with each other, aren't they?
Yes, it does look that way. And how could I help comparing my own feelings? Was that I felt for Dennis anything like the radiant love that shone from Adele's eyes?
Adele and I have just decided to be married. How about making it a double wedding?
The question hung in silence for several moments, when I finally found words to answer it. Dennis and I don't think we ought to rush into marriage just yet.
I don't think any such thing. I'll marry you tomorrow if you say the word.
But wasn't going to say the word. Something in my heart was silencing me. It's getting late. Shall we go? And when Adele and I were alone, all the uncertainty and turmoil in me exploded. Oh, Adele, what will I do? You were right. I don't love Dennis. I don't want to marry him. I realize that now. The real truth escaped my lips. But I'm scared. Supposing nobody else asked me to marry him. You know how few boys I've known? You know how few dates I've had?
Oh, honey. Didn't I have to wait a long time? And now I'm so thankful I did. You've got to make up your mind. Will you marry a man you don't love and risk a lifetime of unhappiness? Or will you wait and hope to find the right man someday? I had to choose. So must you.
I didn't sleep that night. But when the morning came, I made my decision. I hope you'll understand and forgive me, Dennis. And I also hope you'll soon meet someone else. Someone more right for you than I am. It was like having a tremendous weight lifted from my heart. But I was terribly depressed. Howard and Adele came to my rescue and invited me to have dinner with them. Suddenly...
Greg Warren, what a surprise. How about helping me entertain two lovely ladies, my fiancé and her sister?
Fan.
Greg was nice, but I didn't have a chance to think about him too much for the next day. Remember Paul Kane? We went to school together. He's back in town and wants to take me out. Greg called later and I made a date with him for the next night. Suddenly, out of the blue, I seemed to be popular.
Irene looks so pretty.
And truly happy. That's the most important thing.
And someday, I'd find my love. I was sure of that now. The end.
Impatient Heart by Bernard Sachs from DC's Secret Hearts number 26, February-March 1955. With an all-Northwestern New Brunswick cast featuring Joël Martin as Irene, Annick Landry as Adele, Fern as Dennis and Greg, and Siskoid as Howard.
Are we on?
All right, we're on.
We're on.
We're inside the store.
Ooh.
And we're at the Marvel section.
Comic Hunter, I'm inside you.
So we're looking for Patsy Walker under P, I imagine. It's all Spider-Mans, I suppose.
Yeah, Spider-Man is not romance at all.
Is it not?
No.
At all?
No. Well, maybe the love between a man and a spider. Spider-Man and Kitty Pryde.
I have that one.
Is it good?
I don't remember. It's also possible I no longer have that one. There's this guy in Edmonton who wanted to trade for all my Spider-Man comics at one point, so I might have given it up.
Oh, Mike, why are you giving it up to some dude?
I gave it up for Son of Ambush Bug number 4.
Oh.
Things happen.
Oh, well, at least you have a type.
But if we're looking for Silver Age, we should be in the Silver Age portion.
Yes, right? that would be,
Let's go there.
We're looking for Silver Age. Why aren't we in Silver Age?
I don't know.
We've got to pad out this show somehow. Looney Tunes. No, okay, we have romance, because Bugs Bunny constantly dressed up as a girl to trick Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam, and very progressive, gender fluid. What? Do you have something against gender fluidity in Looney Tunes?
No. They're mixed company.
Mixed martial arts.
So it's like, this is a Gold Key and then there's a Charlton, so.
Okay.
So we're...
Here you go, this is romance for me.
Magnus Robot Fighter is...
4,000 AD.
I realize now I've lost all my skills at going through back issues.
Oh, no.
I used to have skills of this. Have you come across any romance titles?
Not yet. Mighty Samson. He had a love for Delilah.
Samson came to my bed, told me that my hair was red, told me I was beautiful, came into my bed. I cut his hair myself one night, a pair of dull scissors in the yellow light, and he told me that I'd done all right, and kissed me till the morning light, and he kissed me till the morning light.
At this point, we ask for help from the Comic Hunter's own René.
So we're looking for Patsy Walker, Mike's self-appointed Holy Grail. For me.
All right. Whoa, Patsy Walker, we have confirmation.
The lone Patsy Walker.
Hey, lone Patsy Walker, number 84.
Isn't that how it always is for Patsy Walker?
Now, I'm wondering if at this point it was still a teen humor comic,
oh,
or if it had gone soap opera.
Not yet, Patsy. Not yet.
That could go either way. With that cover.
Yeah.
Because I'm laughing.
Why are you hesitant
romantic
to touch it? You're like, I.
We can't open it.
Would you please?
Doesn't the year show on the cover, though?
Not in those
usually
days.
Oh, wow.
It's in the indicia at the bottom of the first page.
Mm. We've got 1959.
Borderline, yeah.
Oh, wow. She went to a football game.
Yeah, it looks a lot like the romance days.
Yeah?
Much more than the early ones, which were, looked like a bit like a kind of saucier Archie.
Okay.
Which is how I would describe the Golden Age ones. A lot of fashion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lovelier hair in 7 days or your money back.
This is awesome, and it will be bought.
Okay. All right.
Wait, we will purchase this one.
Okay. All right.
Now, would you mind answering a few questions about romance comics in general here at the store?
I can try.
We're just looking at how available these things are.
Yeah, they're not the most common. Like, they don't come up as often as you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure to a certain degree they were mass-produced, you know, for the audience of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, most of those books, you know, people were putting them in their back pocket, and that was it. And, you know, or they'd get traded. They get traded. Hey, I'll give you 5 Patsy Walkers for your one true romance. You know,
I imagine
true romance is the gold standard.
Well, you know, it's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah,
and we had a woman in just the other day that was sifting through the Silver Age boxes over there looking for anything related to romance comics.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
So there is a certain demand.
Yeah, and, it, you know, to say that, it's hard to put that in that context because I don't think I've ever had anybody ask for those comics until last week. You know? No, ask me personally, of course. We pointed her in the right direction. She found something and was happy with it. But, yeah,
well, so have we.
Yeah, and they don't come up often. And it's nice to see when it's interesting to see the people who collect them. You know what I mean? Like, because it's usually, you know, obviously this was someone's mom kind of thing, and she's like, oh, I used to read this when I was a little girl. You know, whereas my dad would be coming in here looking for Roy Rogers stuff.
Right. Well, we're doing it for science.
Yes. Well.
You laugh, but it's science.
Clearly.
It is.
Clearly.
It is science.
There'll be lots of metrics and number crunching to analyze the.
That's what we do.
I think this is pretty much the analysis right here.
it's happening.
And done.
This is your science love song. A place to start our chemical bond. A research endeavor. Together.
So we're out.
Yeah,
we don't have as much time as we would like. So as soon as we found a comic,
we got it.
We took it.
We got a Patsy Walker from 1959.
So it, and flipping through it, it did look
very romance,
right? And with fashion tips and so
better hair in 7 days.
And we'll be talking about this issue in a later episode with the other guys, sharing the love.
Oh yeah,
as they say. While we were looking, and we weren't looking very well
or hard,
or hard.
No, we're lazy.
But the clerks did print out a list of romance titles that they had on in the store.
Yeah.
Or at least the titles.
Yeah.
So that helped us, and we didn't even ask for that.
No. They just kind of overheard us and went, hey, let's go help these fine gentlemen.
Right. And they also gave us some leads as to other romance comics, modern stuff that's being done even in our own province.
Yeah.
So we'll
amazingly
be
enough.
Yeah, so we'll be looking for that kind of thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little pop-in visit, less than a half hour, and I think, you know, they've given us some good leads to things you'll hear on future shows.
Yep.
And that's why it's our preferred store.
The only preferred store.
Yep. This is my oldest comic in my collection now.
Really?
I don't think I have anything.
You don't have anything older than 1959?
I really don't.
Wow.
Think I've got stuff from the 70s.
Because you have stuff that actually looks like this, like in the same condition.
It looks like this.
In the same condition.
But I don't think I have anything that's before the 70s.
I've seen your Who's Who stack. that stuff has been loved. Okay.
Yes.
The word love, and I mean that in a I love you and I hit you kind of way, because your Who's Who stack is kind of destroyed.
Well, the comic dates from 1985, and I've been reading it nonstop since then.
You should know it by now. Why stop reading it? You should know it by now.
But it has very few romance stars.
You know.
Advertisement for another awesome comic book podcast.
Hey, everybody. I'm Paul Spataro. I don't know if you know me, but I'm a regular on Back to the Bins, along with my friends Dr. Bill Robinson.
Hello.
And Mr. Scott Gardner.
Hey, how's it going?
Andy's been asking us for a promo for the show for the longest time, and Bill has been writing it for the longest time. Bill, you got that promo written yet? Okay, so, anyway, what we do is we review three comic books. We try to do it every week. Usually it's a Marvel, a DC, and a Captain Canuck book for Scott. So, tune in every week to Back to the Bins to listen to our show. You can find us at twotruefreaks.com.
Yeah, you turn that thing on, Mike. You turn it on good.
It's on. We're doing some listener mailbag.
Okay.
Awesome. M-A-L-E. If it were a letters column in a comic book.
Yeah, it'd be called mailbag. Yeah, because we're four dudes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's...
Scrotum memorandum.
I'm still here with Just Fern. So on Twitter.
Garbage.
My favorite social media. Don't say that about Twitter.
Screw you, Google Plus.
Poor Google Plus. We did not get any Google Plus comments this week. But we did get some on Twitter. Film and Water Podcast said, Nouvel épisode.
Oh.
In French. And shared it.
Did he just, like, copy-paste yours, or did they actively go and type Nouvel Episode?
Nouvel Episode.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for them.
And they being Rob Kelly from Fire and Water.
Okay.
Then Illegal Machine from the Rolled Spine podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Just started listening to it.
Illegal Machines, those are my favorite types of machines.
I think you guys would get along, because he's a big car buff as well.
Woo!
Yeah. He says, Lonely Hearts is great. 2 episodes in, starting number 3, and then later on, this is Twitter after all.
Right.
Later on, he says, Episode 5, I'm very upset the Dylan Predator scene was referenced before I could do it on Rolled Spine.
Yeah, I remember that tweet.
Separated at birth?
Yeah, probably. So, my dad traveled a lot, so who knows?
Hey, Facebook comments from Mike Alsano, one of your friends?
Yep.
He says, my role as number one fan is legendary, yes, and then shared it because we didn't mention him.
He actually does his own kind of podcast YouTube episodes, and he does a lot of comic stuff out in Winnipeg, so it's pretty cool.
What's the name of it?
It's the Mike and Rob Show. You can just search Mike and Rob in YouTube, and they show up there. And
Denise Oliver, who did the voice for our previous episodes.
Yes, she's the lady who worked with YTV.
Well, that's it. She says, that was a mistake on my part when said it. She says, great episode, thanks for the shout-out. Although I'm way less cool than you made me out to be. I was on Treehouse TV as Rosabelle, not one of the hip YTV PJs. So my bad was probably... At least what someone told me at the time was that she was on a provincial version of YTV. No need to correct, she says. Too bad. We did.
In your face.
Wasn't even expecting to get a credit in any way. I just don't want anyone to get excited about PJ Katie being on your show when, in fact, you had nerdy old Rosabelle. Thanks for the invite to be part of it. Such a blast.
That's cool.
Gotta say, from the comments we got, talking to people, and you'll hear some here, Denise was a very good addition to the show. People liked her performance in that role.
Right.
Clinton Robinson, still on Facebook, says, appreciate the shout-out on episode 5 and love the commentary banter surrounding it. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. I may be a bit behind again, but I shall catch up again soon.
Okay.
Our previous episode was episode 6, so he's not too far.
Yeah.
Zap-Eyed Amusements talked about the plant life in the S&M couple's apartment in the last episode. There were some plants in the apartment that we did not speak to in, the Spankathon. He says, I wonder what the cactus had to say. So there's a cactus in the apartment.
I bet he's a prick. Hey-o! Hey-o!
Mike, jokes. And then Mike Gillis, who was supposed to be the male voice on that show, but gave it up to his friend Dan Lombardo, said of that performance, Dan Lombardo has his voice acting debut in a classic comic book romance story with some really off-putting and cringeworthy retrograde social politics. He really knocks it out of the park. Dan is like
Patrick Warburton as Don Draper in this piece.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, I could see that. Don Draper just went, Peter.
On the blog, there's a follow from Rob Deb. Liam Cave said, the lady could not be less into being slapped, according to the top picture. The dialogue said one thing, but the artist said,
Yeah. Joe Gilso, she likes to get spanked. And the artist is like, I can't draw this anymore.
I'm just uncomfortable.
I've been drawing spanking for 7 years. You know what? It would be interesting to go and find all of Vince Coletta's art and see at one point if he started doing one of those secret messages, like writing help me somewhere in the background. It's like day 5002.
I'd have to go through a heck of a lot of Jack Kirby comics. He'd put it in the inking.
Yeah, the Kirby crackle spells out send help.
Yeah. You know,
tell my wife I love her.
Then we have Rob Kelly. Yeah. Again, from Film and Water, again? Fire and Water, and all that.
Now on the podcast?
Now
the blog, pardon.
Yeah, on the blog.
All right.
He says, fun episode, fellas. That said, I really don't think I should get into how much I enjoyed the final moments of Romance Comics Theater. It was really something. If the kid's voiceover stuff starts to peter out, Denise has a career in more adult fare if she wants one. She's
seven,
a mom.
Five, three, oh,
she's
nine.
A mom, Rob. Yeah. Come on.
Hey, you know, moms have a right to be kinky, too. A lot of moms read 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know. I'm not a mom yet.
Council of Geeks had this to say.
Is this just one person or is like a whole cabal of people under one login?
It's just one login, but he does run a cabal.
Okay.
There's a cabal attached.
So do they like put stuff through committee and then go, it has been chosen. We shall type this.
Well, they're doing some interesting podcasts and YouTube stuff.
Okay.
Talking about movies, and now they're doing a sort of series on 90s comics. Retried. Retried 90s comics. The thing about this comic is I could almost make an argument in favor of the relationship from a BDSM angle. Most people understand the standard roles of dominant and submissive, but there's much less understood switch who displays aspects of both and may desire one or the other depending on a situation or mood. I've been advised by my attorney not to divulge the source of my knowledge in this area, but I'd recommend the sadly discontinued webcomic Nick Buxom for some entertaining perspective on the issue. That's at nickbuxom.blogspot.com. Of course, this interpretation doesn't actually hold up due to the long con nature of the comic. If the whole thing were condensed to a few weeks or even months and didn't involve marriage, it could work, but since any lasting BDSM relationship requires a very large amount of open communication and these two are playing a silent game of chicken well into their marriage, I have to chalk it up to the misogyny of the time. Though the spanking is probably still somebody's fetish bleeding through, much like all of the bondage on display in the old Wonder Woman comics.
Yes. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not kind of expert on any...
You're not an expert on bondage? I'm learning so much about you, Mike, right now.
He's like, I don't know. I know nothing.
I don't know. I could get spanked. I don't care. He's like, yeah, whatever. It's Tuesday.
And then there's Ange, another frequent commentator.
Yes.
Says, another great episode, but what a story. For me, I do think these I love you, you're perfect, now change stories are a bit disheartening. Love should be acceptance, not change. It is hard to change people's hardwiring and not have them sink into resentment. And people should love the person they say they do. I'm not saying that opposites can't attract. It's that it's pretty clear, at least here, that she doesn't respect Nick. And Nick doesn't respect himself to know he is being molded into something he isn't. Where does this couple go from here? Does she become the totally controlled one and he becomes the one calling the shots? Do they move somewhere in the center with both respecting each other and working together? Or does this show they can't survive together? I guess to put it succinctly, that ship has sailed, Ange. I would say that think of the kids. Yeah, I learned a lot from comics reading them growing up. I learned vocabulary. I learned heroic ideals. I learned plot devices. I don't know if I would want to learn what love really means if this is what I'm being taught.
Right.
Absolutely great acting, by the way, see?
Oh, okay. I don't think anyone during the recording of that session was on anyone's side there. I think we all realized that, all right, this is the pitfall of reading these old comics. There's going to be some very outdated ideas, and, well, we're just going to have to grit our teeth and power through it and realize, you know what, this was a different time. This was, you know, where we thought communists were our worst nightmare. Turns out it's actually us, capitalism. Hooray! So, you know, we won and also lost somehow. I don't know. At this point, I'd welcome spanking back. You know, it's like, hey, if we can get...
that was the only problem?
If we had to endure one spanking once a week for the next 5 years, and I don't mean like it's pleasurable. I mean, this hurts. Once a week.
With a wooden spoon.
With a wooden, like a ruler
I'm
or a
just
wooden
using
spoon.
What I know.
Yeah, or, you know, your dad's belt, or, you know, your mom's belt, you know, everybody's belt. Just tie like 5 belts together, make a super belt. And that completely unfucks the global economy and environment. Sign me up. I will take someone else's spanking as well. I'll do that shit twice a week. I'm ready to do my part. How about you? Sorry, we get political here at Lonely Hearts Romance Comics.
But it's interesting to see that, you know, that we've opened up
yes.
the discourse.
On spanking?
No, it's like comic book bloggers,
yeah.
male comic book bloggers coming in and describing their, you know, their
yeah.
definition of love and yeah. actually talking about relationships.
Yeah.
It's sweet. We didn't mean for this to happen.
Nerd!
And then,
no, I'm kidding. We love you guys.
I had a private conversation with Diablo Frank from the Rolled Spine podcast this week. So just to gloss over what he might have said about the show.
Sure. Go for it.
He felt bad that he hadn't, or any of them, him or Illegal Machine or Mr. Fixit, had commented in any way on the show. Because
okay.
we did name drop them in the first episode. They're the guys who we sort of bolded the show on. It's the same format.
Okay.
I stole their format.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing.
No,
it's the same kind of feeling.
We didn't steal it. We made it better. Hey-o!
I don't know. But it's the same show with just with French-Canadian accents. Anyway, he felt bad that they hadn't responded, even though Frank himself had been listening. He's like considering himself our deadbeat dad. Created us or helped create us, but then never gave us the time of day. And he also said he can't really tell us apart yet.
Aw, you gonna learn.
You guys all run together. So, well, this is part of the effort of trying to differentiate people. We're just doing it,
maybe,
the two of us.
I don't know, maybe have the listeners vote on what kind of voice I should do for the next podcast.
The one who does voices is Fern.
Yeah, that's pretty much my shtick.
Yeah.
It's my only redeemable quality. That and eating.
Eating isn't a redeemable quality.
Hey,
It's associated with one of the seven deadly sins.
Hey, I'm really good at
Billy
it.
Billy Batson had to walk in front of that freakish statue every fucking day.
Yeah.
Did he? Did he go to the Rock of Eternity every day?
Hey.
I don't know. Is this Shazam just sitting there?
Oh, you
sad.
Did.
Yeah. I queened him and he never comes around. Shares and likes from Facebook. So Nathalie Gauguin, Adrienne Basque, Zachary Gadin.
Yep.
Nicholas Prom.
Yep.
Nathaniel Hubbards,
yep.
Max Romero, Comics
yep.
Reflections,
yep.
Mike Gillis, Michael Sano, Phil Robichaud, Gisèle Desrosiers,
of course,
and Illegal Machine. And on Twitter, Coffee and Comics Blog, Count Druncula, Film and Water Podcast, Firestorm Fan, Ange, Martin Gray, Comics Reflections, Greg A., and The Hammer Strikes.
The Hammer Strikes.
So that's it for the mailbag?
Scrotum memorandum.
Put it back in your pants.
You know I like to party.
Leave a comment on the blog at lonelyheartspodcast.wordpress.com or on iTunes or on Facebook. The page is Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast. Or on Twitter, I'm Siskoid. Fern is Idiot Brigadier. Bass is Revue_Bass, REVUE_BASS. And Marty is Marty Light. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the speaker. All music, audio clips, and images are used for entertainment purposes only and are believed covered under fair use. We don't make any money off this program, so no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
And now I'll do it as Kermit the Frog.
Let's go for a drive now, Irene.
Happy? Happy? Wait. Happy.
This is too creepy. Too creepy. All right, too creepy. Happy. No, that's too cutesy. That's Pauline cutesy.
Happy you are. Kermit, are you happy?
For me, that kiss was exciting. Was it that way for you too, Irene? She says yes, but her eyes say no. This is some Betty and Veronica shit right there.
Fine. Fine.
He can be a Muppet if he wants. Okay, it's...
Fine.
Hey, some girls like bad boys. Fine. Fan. That was a bit Cartman from South Park. Fan! Hey, shut up. You're getting bloopers for the end of this.